I'm Joe Kramer, composer of Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to listen to this podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network.
You're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network. Unleash the geek in you.
Hello and welcome to Altering Geekcast Radio. I am one of your hosts, TFJ and Mike, and joining me from Altered Geek is Steve Megatron. Hello.
Hello here.
Also joining us is Pecan Court Michael from God knows whatever other podcasts he does on this network.
From all ports known and unknown. Hey, how's it going?
Yes, it's going, it's going. And today, tonight, whenever you fine people happen to be listening to this, we are doing a little special crossover here for Geekcast Radio and Altered Geek to talk about hot cars. And no, we're not talking about cars that look hot.
Hot rod?
We're talking... What?
Hot rod?
No.
We're not talking about sweet rides. We're talking about stuff that hurts.
Hot rod. No, you don't, Megatron.
Yeah. If you're going to ride, ride in style.
It burns us, precious.
So, all right. Basically, how this came about, folks, is you're going to hear a clip with my buddy Jesse Raz from a local radio station here in Louisville, Kentucky, 106.9 Play. And what he did earlier this week was this has been done before. This is not a new thing. Radio DJs have done this stunt before, but because summer is coming up, and because of some of these staggering statistics in the last year for this, he wanted to show the effects of sitting in a hot car. And essentially what he did was he filmed it, he Facebooked Live'd it, he did a radio broadcast of this here in town.
Did he actually steal the car?
No, it was the radio station vehicle. Why would he steal a vehicle his company owns?
You said it was hot.
Oh, God.
Drop it like it's hot.
Drop it like it's hot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, he went in at 8 a.m. Monday morning, June 6, 2016, 6-6-16, which I point that out to him in the clip you're going to hear in a moment. At 8 a.m., spent about an hour and 15 minutes in the car. The only thing that he had in there was his phone and his GoPro, and he had some water and some other stuff, but essentially the car was turned off, and he's basically it's to show everybody, hey, you need to look before you lock. You need to make sure your kids aren't left in the car, your pets aren't left in the car, and basically how do we prevent that from happening? So you're going to hear that, and then I am going to talk Steve and Michael through, you know, the rest of the discussion as far as them both being parents and what their opinions are of this and all that. So we're going to get to Jesse and I talking about his hot car experience after this.
All right, 106.9 Play. It's the morning play with Jesse and MJ.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a special episode of Geekcast Radio. This will be on Geekcast Radio and Altered Geek. I am one of your hosts, TFJ and Mike, and we're doing this episode because here in Louisville, Kentucky, on Monday 6-6.
I know, right?
Yeah, that was a little. Like, 6-6-1-6. Thank God for that one.
Yeah. 6-6. Well, 6-6-0-6, 10 years
ago. So, thank God for the one.
Yeah. So, on June 6, 2016, here in Louisville, Kentucky, at one of the local radio stations, 106.9 Play, one of the morning show hosts, Jesse Raz, say hello.
Hello.
Hello. They wanted... How did this conversation first come up?
Well, so we're a new show.
Right.
And so it's one of those things, kind of behind the scenes, you know, you start asking yourself, who's your audience? How do you connect with your audience? We do a lot of fun stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on here once. I've talked with you once before.
With comics.
I'm a big nerd. And, you know, I'm just one of those people that likes to make sure that everybody around me has fun.
Right.
So we do a lot of that stuff. But sometimes it's like, you know, not everything's fun. How do you, you know, what are the issues that your audience are in?
Yeah.
I'm also a new dad.
Yeah.
And, you know, every year there are all these stories about how kids are left. You know, most of the time the big stories that you hear about are parents that forget they have their kids in the car and they get left in there and they pass away. Here locally there was one. It was a van, and it was a daycare worker that had left a kid here. And so that had just happened. We were in a meeting, and I was like, we should put me in a hot car, which is not a new thing. There have been other people that have done this sort of thing. I was like, but it hasn't been done in a while, and it's something that...
Plus, summer's just starting, and we want to get awareness. You know, you want to get awareness out to people about...
Well, one of the things that we found from a couple of our experts was, one, usually when this occurs, is it occurs when there's somebody different taking the kids to school. So, you know, during the summer, if the kids aren't going to school, they're going to a daycare, they're going to a sitter's, maybe it's a grandparent, maybe it's an aunt, uncle, maybe it's a friend that's dropping your kids off.
Right.
So that's a new routine. So anytime you interrupt your regular routine and you have something like that, there's always a higher likelihood of you forgetting, especially if kids fall asleep. And so, like, as a matter of fact, for an example, I had a friend who, she told me on Facebook, she was like, you know, we have a couple kids. My husband has a couple kids. So we had all the stepkids with us, and we went to this park, and everybody was excited. Everybody was excited. Everybody got out of the van, and we got there, and it wasn't for about 5 minutes that I looked around, and I noticed one was missing. Well, come to find it, I went back, and he was asleep in the back. They just, you know, it wasn't something intentional. He was fine, but it wasn't something malicious. She's not a bad parent. It was just, hey, I have three kids. Now I have six. And I don't think to count. Just like a lot of these cases, they're not necessarily terrible parents. They just... they forget, or they get distracted. And so that was really, it wasn't really about placing blame. It was really about saying, hey, think about that. So one of the things that we talked about is a phrase, look before you lock. So look back there before you lock. You know, put your cell phone back in the back seat where your kids are, especially if they're in car seats. If they're not in car seats, then that gets a little problematic because, you know, they'll grab it. But then you should, you know, then they'll probably be reminding you that they're back there anyway.
Yeah.
But put your cell phone back there because you're not supposed to be on it anyway while you're driving in Kentucky. Some people throw their shoe back there. Some people put their purse back there. Whatever it is, just a reminder to look back there.
Yeah.
So that was sort of the fruition of it. That was something, that's where the idea came from. Like I said, I'm a new dad, and it's funny. I have all these opinions before you become a parent, you have opinions. And after you become a parent, you have opinions.
And that's one of the things here is that the reason why I'm doing this with Jesse is because I'm going to have our other guys come on after we do this part of the episode. Steve and Michael Wilson. Stephen C. Phillips is the co-creator, for all of you know, the co-creator of GCRN, but he has two kids. He has two boys. Our other co-host that's doing the Phineas and Ferb show with me, Michael Wilson, he has two boys. So I'm going to have them listen to this part. Hopefully they will. and then going to facilitate a discussion between them based on what you're telling us now.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things, you know, my opinions haven't changed that much since having a kid, although I will say that, not to get on this tangent of the gorilla in Cincinnati, but you learn that all it takes is for one instance of being human, for a kid to do something, for a kid to get hurt, for a kid to get lost, and that doesn't always mean they're bad parents, they're bad people. It just means they're human. Or that kid is really fast. I mean, heaven forbid. and that's kind of what we were talking about here. The other instance of this that we really wanted to draw attention to, and I grew up in an era or a generation where parents did this, but you know, the whole I've got my kids with me, I just got to run into the store, I don't want to take them out, I don't want to put them in the car, I don't want to hear them, oh, I want to buy this, it's a 5-minute trip, they'll be fine for 5 minutes. What I found is just how quickly the temperature jumps in the car. So it peaked at about 100 degrees in there at one point.
So just to give everybody some background here, Jesse went in Monday morning, June 6th at 8 a.m. It was 60 degrees here in Louisville at 8 a.m. on Monday, June 6th. You came out of the car at around 9:30, 9:45?
9:30-ish. It was like between 9:15 and 9:30.
Right. So basically, he sat in a hot car for almost an hour and 15 minutes or so, and saw the temperature fluctuate as the sun moved, obviously.
So there were a couple things. We had medical staff on hand, because I'm not an idiot. So we had experts there from the local children's hospital. Right. We had an expert from the Humane Society there, too. And we also had a sergeant from the Louisville Metro Police Department there, too, to talk about some legal issues, which were a couple interesting things I'll bring up here in a second. So I sat in there for an hour. I did the radio show. I also Facebook Lived it, which added another degree of difficulty that I didn't think of, because here I am trying to conduct a show.
Yep.
And then in the meantime, I don't have an off. I have this camera here, and I have these people. So I was exerting more effort. Yeah. So I was getting really tired, and it was getting really hot. But you may think that I'm going to leave them in the car for 5 minutes, it's fine. It's not that hot out. Well, your car, it's the greenhouse effect. Once it gets hot in there, there's no place for it to go. Yeah. Even if you crack the windows, it still gets very hot in there, especially in direct sunlight. So in the direct sunlight, it got up to about 100 degrees, and it was climbing. Well, then the sun kind of went behind some clouds, and then the temperature lowered a little bit. So it sat at about 88, 89 degrees for most of the time that I was in there, which is still not very comfortable, especially if you're talking about a young kid. I'm an adult in my very early 30s. And so my tolerance to that is much higher than, say, a newborn, a two-year-old, a three-year-old, a four-year-old, you know. So... And as a matter of fact, I was only in there an hour, 15 minutes, because they pulled me out. I wanted to go longer for the sake of the show and for the sake of everything. Well, but I got pulled out by experts because they said...
Right. The reason why you got pulled out, and you asked, you know, what was the symptom of this, and I didn't get a chance to tell you when you did this, but... Basically, at about the 9:15, 9:20 mark, you had said you started.
I started getting chills.
You started getting cold chills.
Started getting chills down my arm.
That to me is like if you have a fever that your temperature is so hot that you start getting chills.
Now,
the thing that I would have wished that you guys would have had is one of the eye whatever to tell us what your body temperature was.
Yeah. We didn't end up – we were going to try to have that. It just didn't work out.
Didn't work out, yeah.
But from talking to several people, that could have been – I can't guarantee it was, but that could have been one of the beginning signs of heat stroke.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't really in danger. I'm not a big sweater. I don't sweat that much.
Unless you have a cap uniform on.
Well, that's true. Then it gets hot. But even then, I'm not one of those people that you look at, and I can be very hot, but I'm not – my shirt's not soaked.
Right, yeah.
And – so, I don't think I was ever in any danger of dehydration, but it was still...
And you did have a little bit of bottle of water in there with you.
Just in case I needed it. Yeah. But it was a little surreal, and I went back and watched the video, because I didn't think I was that bad. Mm-hmm. But I looked at the video, and I noticed I'm starting to get really flush, and my speech was slowing down, and it was... I remember, it was getting hard to think.
Yeah.
So it's just interesting in that hour, the progression that I went through. Now, if you had a kid in there, if you had a small child in there, they're not going to be happy, so they're going to be crying.
They're going to be screaming,
which is going to be accelerating their heart rate, which is going to be making it even warmer. And they're in a car seat, which is more insulating too. So that if they had been in there for that same hour, there could have been permanent damage, or they could have died if they had been in that. And that was just in the shade. So, I mean, that's the other... There's several misnomers. It's like, well, I can leave them in there. It's in the shade. Well, yeah. So that's the difference between 88 degrees and 100 degrees.
Yeah.
That's apples and oranges at this point.
Yeah.
I can leave my kid in there with the car running. Well, that creates a couple of problems. One, what if somebody comes and steals your car? Now your kid's gone and your car's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Two, I found this out about the state of Kentucky. The state of Kentucky, it's illegal to leave your car running unattended. That really is a big deal in the winter when everybody's got their auto starts or trying to warm up their cars. But Kentucky's not the only state with that law. I know there are other states with that law, but that's another thing. And that kind of also translates into pets. That was the other thing that we were talking about too, because it is never safe to leave your pet in a hot car unattended, period. It's not. And there's a picture going around of, hey, don't smash the window in. My car's on. He's got ice water. He's listening to whatever band.
Mm-hmm.
And That's still not safe for the A, it's illegal again, because at least in Kentucky, B, someone can steal your car. But C, you don't know what's going on in there with the pet. I mean, they could be getting scared. There are a lot of things. Yeah. Bottom line, just don't, if you can't, if you're going someplace that you can't take your pet and leave it home. Mm. And I would say that about a kid, get a sitter.
Yeah.
And it's someplace that you don't want to bring your kid into.
Now, if it's something where both parents are in the car with the kids, and just the mom wants to go into Joanne's
and we do that. But again, the car's running. Somebody's in there with them.
Right. It's not
so
just,
it's more controlled. It's not like we're leaving them in there by themselves. Right. Yeah, I mean, because my wife and I will do that sometimes. It's like, you just want to run in and I'll sit out here with him. And, and that's fine.
But and that was the same thing with my mom and I when we would, you know, when we had our dog Snow White and all that, you know, we would, you know, either I'd run in or she'd run in or whatever. And most of the time it was me running in because I am the... To sidetrack a little bit, I am the fastest grocery shopper I know. I go in, I know what I want, I get what I want. I look at price, but I mean, I'm not buying like a $50 bottle of Pinot Grigio or what, you know, whatever. It's like,
well, you live by yourself, so you know, okay, I'm hungry, I want this, I want this. But that's the, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because a lot of times what happens is, and everybody falls victim to this. Okay, I'm gonna be gone 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. You go in the store. My dad was notorious about this growing up. I'm going to the hardware store. I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Yeah, right.
20 minutes later, he's ran into two people he knows. Yep. He's had to go searching for parts. And then all of a sudden, that five-minute trip that you're like, oh, I left the kid in the car, turns into 20 minutes. 20 minutes and now they're severely dehydrated. There's heat stroke. Yep. 25 kids last year died.
Nationwide.
So between the ages of like newborn and 4 years old from heat-related injuries because they were left in a car. That is an astounding number. I mean, if you look at the amount of people per capita, you're sitting there going, 25, that's not too bad. That's 25 deaths of children that could have been avoided because either somebody didn't look in the back of their seat or someone decided that they were just going to leave their kid in the car.
Right.
Like, that's a statistic that shouldn't exist.
Yeah, that's unacceptable to me.
I mean, there are a lot of unavoidable deaths out there. There are a lot of things that are just pure accidents.
Yeah.
That is one that is so easy to prevent. It just is. It's not something that... How crazy have we become as a society that we get so distracted that we forget that there's a child back there?
Yeah.
And I'll be honest. I get up at 3:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. I'm out of the house at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm a morning radio host.
Yeah.
So I go into autopilot mode when I'm driving. I know a lot of people do when they go to work. They drive that same route. They just kind of, they zen out. They're listening to whatever they're listening to, maybe a podcast, music, whatever. Mm-hmm. And if the kid's asleep in the car, you can forget.
Yeah.
I can understand getting to work because I've done this. I've gone somewhere and I'm like, oh, crap, I was supposed to drop him off and then turning around. Yeah. I cannot understand parking, getting out of the car, and then not even... Looking. Taking a notice of what the heck is back there. Like, that blows my mind.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the, you know, when I was growing up, you know, my mom, I don't remember a lot of when I was young, like 4, 5, 6, that kind of stuff. But I remember my mom, my aunts, and all of them, my grandmother didn't drive, but everybody, all the other women in my family, they would always put wherever I or my cousins or whoever, like, okay, say we're in a car here, and I know people can't see this because it's audio, but say you're driving, I'm in the passenger seat, and you got a kid here and a kid here. So for us, when I was younger, it was either my mom's boyfriend or her job to, you know, if this person's in the passenger seat, okay, you get the kid that's in the driver's seat, and vice versa, with the driver getting the kid that's in the back passenger seat. And it's one of those things where I just can't see how... You don't look back there. The other thing I was mentioning, and I got sidetracked.
Yeah.
The women in my family, no matter who was in the back seat, whatever kid, whichever, like, one woman would put the purse on the driver's side, the back of the driver's side, and vice versa. The driver would put the... So they would have to then look back there and do that.
And so there's a couple of tips that we picked up, and... You know, there are actually apps that out there. If you've got Bluetooth in your car, it'll sync up there. But I think if you have to go the app route, that it you may be a little far gone if you have to give the app. I mean, set a reminder, but here's a couple of tips. So as I said earlier, you know, if you're a woman or if you're a guy who carries a purse, no judgment, put your purse or your backpack or something that you have to grab before you get out of the car back there. Right. Maybe your cell phone. Some people have talked about throwing their left shoe back there because mm-hmm. you need your right to drive, whatever, and then you have to go get it. That makes for a weird get out of the car, but if it works, it works. Some friends of mine do a really cool thing. When one of them has to drop the kids off, they text the other one when they do.
Yeah.
So you know, his wife, my friend Tim's wife, will know, okay, it's 5 after and he hasn't texted me yet. I better check in on him and make sure something's, you know, they didn't have car problems or whatever, because she knows about what time. So they have a checks and balance system with each other, I think is probably one of the smartest things.
Yeah, it's especially for young couples like that, especially because it's one of those things where it's also, okay, the parent dropped the person off, you know, the child off, mm-hmm. but letting the other parent know, okay, X kid is at this daycare.
Oh, yeah.
And that also alleviates the thing of, oh my God, where's my kid? Does the daycare have him? Does the daycare not have him? Did the daycare?
In some daycares, you know, in small cities will call and say, hey, you know, so and so didn't drop this kid off yet.
Right.
And so that's nice, but
not all. But it depends on the size of the daycare, really.
Yeah, it really does. But it was an interesting experience. I'm glad I did. And really, I was very fortunate because I think they pulled me out before any major effects.
Yeah.
I joked yesterday. I was like, "There's a reason they call it heat exhaustion."
Yes.
I got home and I passed out.
Just passed out.
I was so tired. Yeah. And but it's I guess the thing that was surprising to me the most about being in that car for, you know, an hour is just how quickly that thing heats up.
And the interesting thing when you guys, because you guys were originally going to set this up the Friday before.
Well, yeah.
Did you? So were you going to use, and people that are listening aren't going to care or know what I'm going to ask you about this, but did you guys specifically have it set to use out of the Big Four Bridge, or didn't you originally have it set to use at the parking garage by the station?
Well, originally, there were a couple things, and this is a little behind the scenes.
Right.
So we needed an area that got sunlight.
Okay.
Because it's the sun that heats up the car.
Right.
I could have sat the Friday that we were going to do it. It was like Stephen King kind of fog. Louisville, Kentucky is right there on the Ohio River. And so right across from Indiana, could not see Indiana through this fog. That's how thick it was. And
there's no skyline over there anyway. We don't need to see Indiana.
Whatever. Don't talk about my state. So now the temperature of that car, it was 78. And it was 63 outside. So it was still hotter than it was outside.
Yeah.
But for the sake of the show, for the sake of proving a point and all that stuff, we wanted to wait until there was sun and it was warm out.
Right.
Now, that being said, we did drive home the point that just because it's overcast and not very sunny doesn't really make it safe because there's like 76, 78 degrees in there. That's still not comfortable. Yeah. And for a protracted period of time, that can still do damage on a little kid.
Yeah. And I want to say that this isn't, okay, yeah, we're doing this. I'm having Jesse over to talk about this, and we're going to have Michael Wilson and Steve talk about this later. But it's one of those things where, yes, this is, summer is almost here, but this isn't just a problem in the summer, folks. This is also a problem in the winter because you have the reverse effect of hypothermia.
But you know what, though? I don't think most people, I think the cold is a little bit more of a reminder, I guess.
Right, yeah.
I don't hear so much about kids being left when it's cold outside.
Right.
I don't know why that is. I don't know what that says about our thinking versus...
I don't know, because I know a lot of times when I was younger, you know, November, December up in Massachusetts, if my mom needed to run in the store, she would. You know what I mean?
It may be a primal thing, you know, cold equals bad.
Yeah.
Maybe cold, at least in this area of the country, cold makes people uncomfortable. I don't know. Maybe when in areas of the country where it's much colder all the time, maybe it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
But either way, with those temperature shifts, it's still not good to do that because, you know, on the low end, I'm sure kids can freeze just as quickly as they get heat stroke. And but going back to your point about us sort of changing the dates, We chose the area we chose because it's easy for media access for any other people. We were going to do it on the top of a parking garage, which would have gotten much hotter.
Yeah.
But to get TV coverage and things like that. Yeah. I mean, that's one of those things that when you're doing one of these things, yes, you have all this goodwill and we really did want to bring awareness, but we also wanted to attract media attention for a couple of different reasons. But one of them is, you know, radio has a certain pull. Yeah. But when you get radio and TV involved, then it gets bigger than it is. And that was really our goal, is just to put that in the back of people's minds. And God bless the people on Facebook Live that sat there and watched me suffer. Because I sat there, and first off, it was boring as hell. Because I'm sitting here trying to think of something to say for an hour.
We'll see the problem with it. This is what I wish you guys would have done this the way you do normally do remotes. Where you said, you know, you have a segment monkey back in the station just pushing buttons.
Well, that's what he did. We did have somebody like that.
Right, but it almost felt like, I know MJ was out of the car. His co-host, MJ, she didn't want to participate, which is fine. That's whatever. But she was out of the car with everybody else standing around the car.
So that part was a little weird if you weren't listening on the radio. And, you know,
And I'm sitting there watching this Facebook Live video, and I'm like...
Yeah, because there are lulls where I'm just kind of sitting there, and I'm trying to talk.
The question I had was, this is a remote broadcast, and she's outside the car, so to me there wouldn't... I don't know, you can tell me. I don't think there would be any echo, but I'm like, why doesn't he just have it coming out of the speakers so we can actually hear it?
I can tell you exactly why that is, because we talked about that. You mean the car speakers?
Yeah.
Because we don't want the car on.
Oh, that's right.
Because there's no reason to have the car on. Because then a couple things happen. One, you're getting the heat from the engine coming through. That's normal. And two, you know, again, people are like, well, he has the car on. So does he have the heat on? Is he really exaggerating this? Okay, that's why we did.
Okay.
Honestly, the nights before this, I was sweating, no pun intended, because of the technical aspect. Because that was a little tricky, because we have to have microphone and headphones in the car. Oh, something I forgot to mention. Speaking of technical. Mm-hmm. So I had my phone on there, Facebook Live. I also had a GoPro set up. Mm-hmm. The GoPro quit 20 minutes in because it got too hot.
What was it, like 95 degrees?
Was right when it picked up at about 100. And the GoPro shut down because it was too hot.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting situation.
Yeah.
It's one of those things I'm glad I did.
Yeah.
I'm glad I did it. And I hope that I said this on the air. If this prevents one kid from being left in a car and potentially dying, then I think it was a great success.
Absolutely. So people, summer's coming up. It really doesn't matter that it's summer or not, but summer is coming up.
Just don't leave your kids in the car.
Yeah, just don't leave your kids in the car. Like Jesse said earlier, get a babysitter or
take them with you. I have a kid. I have a 6-month-old, and he's not at that stage where he's verbally asking me for stuff, but he grabs at stuff, and he has a lot of crap to take in with him. That car seat is heavy. So I understand, you know what, it's 5 minutes in or it's 15 minutes because I got to get his stuff out, pack him in and pack him out. I understand that.
Right, yeah.
One last thing I will mention, because I never thought of this. Mm-hmm. So our nurse from the local children's hospital, Coast Air Children's Hospital, she said, she goes, always make sure to lock your car when you're at home. Because if you've got kids, especially if your car is outside, even if it's in the garage, you got kids running around playing hide and seek, and all of a sudden you can't find them. One of the first places you need to look is the trunk of the car, because kids like to get in there and hide. It's a dark spot. No one's ever going to find you.
Yep.
But, I mean, sitting in a hot garage or even outside, that's just as bad, if not worse, because it's a small, enclosed little hot box.
Yeah.
So I never thought about that.
Yeah, see, that was the thing. And I know you said you wanted to use direct sunlight. That was the thing that was going to be most interesting to me if you guys had done this on the Friday, because you said you were going to do it at the parking garage close to the station.
Well, I did. It's funny, is I did run some dry runs on the parking garage because I wanted to see incrementally about how hot it would get. So one day, it was the week before, it was 68 outside. It was 86 on the inside at 8 o'clock.
Okay.
And that temperature, the highest it got at 10 o'clock, it was 117 degrees in that car. Jeez. At 10 o'clock. Yeah, it didn't get quite that hot where I was at, but where I was at was probably a little bit more indicative of the low end of how hot a car can get. And let's keep in mind too, this was 8 o'clock in the morning to about 10 o'clock, 8 to 10 a.m.
Yeah.
This is not in the heat of the day when your average person is going out.
Yeah.
So it's dangerous in that low heat, sort of sun is kind of away, sort of the day, at the time of the day.
You never
at
tried
noon,
any,
I never would have made an hour. They would the paramedics
well,
would
yeah,
not have let me.
Yeah, they would have never let you. But you never tried any afternoon dry runs a week before.
If
see the difference.
If at 10 o'clock in the morning it got to 117 degrees. I don't need to do any afternoon dry runs. I know it's already dangerous. Yeah. I mean, I could have probably, on certain days in June, I could probably put a damn fried egg on there and just, you know, or some bacon or something on those things. But it seems stupid, but it's common sense. And again, kids die from this.
Yeah, it's not good, folks. So, you know, if you're a parent, whether you're, you know, married with kids or whether you're single with kids, always make sure you look
before
you
lock. I love that. Yeah. And one last, I said last thing earlier, but this is something interesting too. If for whatever reason your kid gets locked in the car,
mm-hmm.
I had a couple of friends of mine that their daughter liked to play with the keys, and she was sitting in her car seat and she locked the car while she had the keys inside. Do not try to pick the lock. Don't sit there and try to do something. Call either 911, because a lot of those officers actually carry a Slim Jim with them.
Right.
Not all of them, but a lot of them do.
Yeah.
Or call Papa Lock. And actually I heard a rumor of this. Don't quote me if it's not true, but I've heard that if it's a situation like there's a kid in a car, Papa Lock's not going to charge you.
Right.
But, unfortunately, the difference between 911 and Papa Lock is Papa Lock sometimes can take 30 minutes to get there. If you've got a kid in there, and that's all you can do, I would probably bash a window in if it were me.
Yeah.
But if you call 911, a lot of times an officer can get there in 5 to 10 minutes versus that.
Yeah,
so,
versus 30
but
minutes,
don't try to figure it out yourself. Call the authorities first and just say, hey, I accidentally locked my kid in your car. They're not going to immediately open up a child protective services order on you.
Yeah.
It happens. Now, if your kid accidentally locked themselves up in the car at a bar, then they might start asking you more
questions. Yeah.
But otherwise, call the authorities first.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right, folks. I want to thank Jesse for taking the time to stop by. You can, if you're in the Louisville area, the Southern Indiana area,
Well, if you're, you know, you can find us. We 106.9 Play is the radio station.
Yeah, 106.9play.com.
That's our website. You can find me on Twitter at Jesse Rass, only one S at the end. Mm-hmm. There is no ass in Rasmussen. I do enough of that myself. So you can hit me up there. You can tell me I'm full of it when it comes to this. You can say that was stupid. You can say whatever you want. It's Twitter. Yeah,
all I can think of is the guy from Happy Gilmore. You jackass. That's right, folks. Don't be a jackass and leave your kids in the car. All right. Like I said, we're going to transition over to Steve, myself, and Michael Wilson to kind of have them respond to this and their experience with it and all that stuff.
By the way, big fans, guys.
Thank you. I will have all the links. I will have the link to Jesse's video if you guys want to check that out. Link to the website. Link to Cosair.
I can send you the hospital link. I can send you the Humane Society link.
Anything you
want. And if there's anything up there that you can hit me up, like I said, you can hit me up on Twitter at JESSERAS. I'll be happy to point you in the right direction. And just bottom line, save some lives this summer.
That's right. Absolutely. It's a good thing your life was saved, because if not, Rick would have had a Springfield day.
He would have stolen my girl.
Jesse's just got himself a girl and I want to make him mine. Tell all her what, Jesse.
Yeah. You did not just say that.
You said, well, a vault sparked. I'm like, all right, well.
This is bad comedy.
All right, folks, that was Jesse and I talking about his hot car experiment here in Louisville, Kentucky on 106.9 Play, one of the local radio stations here. Now, the reason why Steve and Michael are here is because they're both parents. They both have, they each have two boys of their own. Have you guys ever, like, what is your experience? Have you ever found yourself forgetting one of your kids in the car? Steve?
Never. I am so paranoid when I get, really when I go anywhere. If there's no way in hell I would forget my kid. There's no way. I'm one of those paranoid people that I'm constantly like looking over my shoulder while I'm driving to make sure I brought them with me. Like it's because like, well, I mean like,
so we're not going to see your car driving down the street with the car seat on top of it. Right.
And the kid waving at me, you know,
like why is that car seat on top of Steve's car? Did he forget?
Daddy, I didn't know we had a sunroof.
Strap him down. That's the economy seat, kid.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there's no way I could ever forget my kid. Like, no way.
Yeah. I think we're all kind of helicopter parents at this point, even the people who won't admit it, where we're constantly keeping an eye on our kid. If our kid's gone out of our sight for more than a few seconds, it's like, whoa, I must helicopter in place until I find that kid. And just kind of spin around. For those who can't see me, I'm spinning in place looking for my kid because I'm afraid they're going to hurt themselves. Mm-hmm.
Now, have either of you ever said to yourself, oh, well, I need to run to the store, I'll be 5 minutes, and then you just do that, and your significant other is not around, that kind of thing? Because that also will happen. Parents will say, I'm going to run to the store, and I'm going to run in, and, oh, my kid will be fine.
Which store exactly does not allow children? I'm confused.
It's more
well,
so
it's
the
more
people
so
that
of the fact that the
take...
parent doesn't want to take the kid in the store.
Yeah, because they're thinking I'll be in there 2 seconds.
I'm confused. Is the car seat too heavy? Is the little kid not going to follow them? Are their fingers broken? Can they not have a small child hold onto their hand as they walk into the store?
Some parents in this generation are lazy, though.
I just explained how. The parents, all the parents that I know, and again, you know, it's a nice neighborhood, right? So all the parents that I know are helicopter parents. They're all like, where's my kid? I gotta make sure my kid's within my line of sight because I don't want them getting stolen by bad people because they all lurk in the corners.
Yeah, but you'd be surprised how many parents are not like that. I mean,
I'm
Jesse said
surprised.
You know, I was surprised at the one statistic that they pointed out that nationwide here in the U.S.
37.
Last year. No, stop it. Shut up. Both of you. What's wrong with the two of you?
Try not to imprison any kids in your car on your way to the parking lot.
You should know what happens when we get back together.
This is a shocking number, though. 24, right? 25.
It was 25 kids nationwide last year.
25 assholes managed to lock their kids in a hot car until they died.
Pretty much.
This isn't including pets. This is kids. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked and appalled. It hurts, like here in my chest. This hurts so bad. I mean, people locking their kid in the car and just, see ya, I'll be gone 5 minutes. It's
Three
insane.
3 hours later.
Just the other day, I went to Lowe's. To mm-hmm. get some pipe fittings to repair something in my house. I don't know thing one about pipe fittings. So I go into Lowe's and I say, hi, I need help. Can you get a manager over to this? Long story short, hour and a half later, I'm coming out of Lowe's, finally got the pieces that I need. Took me forever to get someone to help me. If there had been a kid in my car, they'd have been dead. A kid, a dog, someone else's dog, someone else's kid. I don't know.
Yeah.
Someone else's dog.
Exactly. My uncle's, brother's, cousin's, roommate's dog. They died. They'd be dead. And then what am I going to do? I was only in there for 5 minutes, right? no, you're in there for an hour and a half because Lowe's can't seem to get a person to that aisle to help you to save their own lives.
Yeah. The thing about the hot car thing is, and I asked Jesse about this when we talked about this in the clip that people just heard, is they did this experiment at 8 o'clock in the morning from 8 to 9:15.
Right.
Where
long before the sun is high noon in the sky, right?
Right, yeah. And I had asked him at the end of the clip there if he had ever tried doing any afternoon dry runs, because he said he did because they were originally going to do this in a parking garage. They ended up doing it in a giant field.
Well, they had a crowd. It was like an event almost. They had tents.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you couldn't do that on top of a parking garage. Media
coverage and all that. So,
yeah.
So I asked him, I said, did you ever do any afternoon dry runs? He said, it would be way too hot. There was no reason for me to do any afternoon dry runs, because if anyone left their kid in a car at 96 degrees.
Yeah. Before being locked in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, what kills me is that I've got leather seats. Mm-hmm. And I know after a whole day at work, I get in my car that gets direct sun in the parking lot, right? And mm-hmm. Even just sitting down in the seats is excruciating.
Mm-hmm.
It's awful. I can't imagine. I mean, you could cook a kid if you were interested in having a small child for dinner. You could leave them in your car and they'd be fully, you know, well done by the time you got back. You could eat well for a week.
Bacon,
I'm not condoning this. I'm just saying.
Anyone?
Exactly. Another slice, anyone?
And the only thing I can think of is screw Witch Hazel trying to make gingerbread houses for cooking kids. Just cook them in the car.
That's such a poor taste.
You know, Hans and Gretel? Hans?
Hans?
Oh.
Actually, I'm thinking now, I'm going to go to the store. I'm going to get myself one of those tubes of cookie dough. And I'm just going to lay it on the dashboard.
Just get yourself some tin foil and put it on there and see what happens.
I know we're all joking about this, but this is a very serious topic.
Yeah, it's
serious. Now, like I said, it hurts my heart. It hurts physically hurts my chest to think about what happens when people do this. And the only thing you can do is joke about it, because I'd be crying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really. It's just
heartbreaking. Well, because you can't help but put yourself in that scenario of what if that was my kid?
Yeah.
And the unfortunate part is these people that are more concerned over playing Candy Crush or running in to get a you know, latte or whatever instead of, you know, bringing their kid with them. Like I myself, if I have this three option rule, do I need it bad enough that I have to take the kids out of the car?
Mm-hmm.
And if I do, I take the kids out of the car, or I wait until my wife is around and then I go.
There you go.
That's my three options, because if it's not enough to make me want to take the kids out of the car, I just don't go.
Yeah.
Right.
See, we're in a situation now, though, where we have a spouse that we can rely on and say, look, you know, I'm going to go to the store. I could bring the kids, but it's kind of a hassle. Do you mind if I stay home with you? And my wife would be like, I don't care. I'm just going to sit and watch TV with
them. Let's give some background from each of you on your all's ages of your children. Steve, your kids are how old?
3 and a half. My youngest is a year.
Okay. And Michael, yours are what? 9 and 7?
Yeah, 9 and 7.
Okay. So Steve has younger children at this point. Michael has young kids, but they're not so young. Okay, yeah. So I would think that by the time where your children, Michael, are 7 and 9, that you're starting to teach them about all this stuff about being in the car, not being in the car, and being able to behave in a store or something
that. Oh, yeah,
yeah. I'm sure, you know, kids are going to throw temper tantrums as kids are wont to do, but I assume that you are leading them down the path of not becoming constructive.
I don't so much have that, actually. You know, my kids are really well behaved. I raise them good. When we go to Comic Cons, you know, I know that they're going to be right behind me. You know, I guide them. I make sure that they're in the right place. They're very rarely get lost. They're very attentive. Plus, they both have iPads. So on the occasion that, you know, what's weird is I've gone to the store before and said, do you guys want to run in with me for 5 minutes or do you want to sit here and play on your iPad? And they'll be like, I'll play on my iPad, right? Which is fine because I can lock the door.
I don't know what it's like in Indiana, but here in Kentucky, it's illegal to leave any children in a running car because what if somebody steals the car?
No, I wouldn't leave the car running.
Okay.
But then again, I've never done that in the summer either.
Right.
I mean, in the fall, it's nice. They're just going to hang out in the car and play on their iPad. My car, I got a big SUV, and the back windows are all tinted. So they're not going to be able to see the kids anyway. They're just going to hang out in the back. But I don't think I've ever had that situation occur when it's hot. And I certainly wouldn't leave them in the car.
Yeah.
While it's 95 degrees. I mean, like I said, I have leather seats. You know when you're in the car and it's hot.
Mm-hmm.
The car will remind you.
What about you, Steve?
Yeah. As far as
the kids and starting to teach. I mean, I know your kids are too young at this point,
I mean, obviously I'm going to tell them, you know, I'm not going to really, I mean, they don't get the option that they're either coming in or we just go home, but,
Steve's got a car seat though, a car seat and booster at this point.
Yeah. They're both in boosters. Like,
oh, really? One year old's in a booster?
He's in a rear facing, but yeah, it's a convertible seat.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It has to be rear facing, but
yeah. So I mean,
that's a different ball of wax.
Yeah,
my kids will exit the car and follow me closely and pay attention because they're good kids and they're older. But when you got a 1 year old and a 3 year old, you know, you've got a 3 year old easily distracted, may or may not be holding your hand the whole time.
Well, he decides whether he wants to listen or not.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Cause there are times where he feels like it and then there are times where he doesn't.
You know, on the occasion that you do lose your kid in a crowded place, they'll learn not to wander off.
Well, as long as you're not doing what those people in Japan did, and their kid was throwing a tantrum and they left him in a field and came back and were like, oh, where did he go?
Oh, 3 days later, there's my kid.
They came back 3 hours later.
Oh, shit, Japanese. Yeah.
Like, what do you say? We're shitting Japanese.
I wonder where my kid went. I don't know. I just left him here for 5 minutes and now he's gone.
Oh shit, what are we gonna do now?
That's the other thing I taught my kid. Teach my kids, you know what, if you're lost, don't go anywhere. Just wait until your friends find you. You know, I did lose Aiden once in the Comic-Con. I've told you the story. Yeah,
I don't think so. You may have, but I don't remember. So go ahead and tell it again.
I lost him before, and I found him like 2 aisles over. He was looking for me. He decided to go back to the last place where he could remember me stopping.
Right.
Which is smart. He went. Yeah, which is smart. Yeah. You know, ideally, smarter would have been stay put. I will backtrack until I find you. You know, and in this case, I had to backtrack 2 aisles, and I'm like, wait a minute, I knew he was right behind me here. Where the hell did he go? You know, like I said, he's smart. He knows the rules. But you know, like I said, you get sidetracked sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't panic. Don't freak out. Everything will be fine.
Absolutely.
Unless your kid is in the car boiling like a lobster, in which case all you can do is, you know, put on your lobster bib and dig in.
Ew.
I'm telling you, if you can't laugh about it, you will cry. This is a terrible, terrible situation.
It is.
Yeah.
Boil them, mash them, stick them in the stew.
Steve, you never leave your car seat inside.
Like my kids, like I carry the 1 year old on my arm, and then the other one, I make stay within like a 3 feet distance. It's it is to the point that it's a paranoia and of losing the kid, and. Even though the kid is obnoxious when he feels like not listening. I mean, he's a great kid, but like there's times where he's just like, I'm tired and I don't feel like listening to you.
That's your first boy?
Yeah. He's the oldest.
Yeah, so you know that sounds
there's like a there's like a direct correlation with and this is a totally different topic, but early introduction to media.
Oh.
And consistently in front of it.
Yeah.
And it's not just from my personal, so, right. But yeah, so, and the younger one's not been exposed to any of it, so he's like, I follow.
I'll just chase you around.
Because now he walks. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, so, no, I mean, honestly, when they're that little, you carry them around.
Yeah, I carry them around.
I had my oldest boy on my shoulders until he was like 4, I think.
Well, they're too slow, so like I almost exactly. prefer just to carry them.
Yeah, they're too slow. Keep up, like, you!
I'm like, you were way too slow. Let's go.
Tiny but, little slowpokes, come on.
All I can think of is Speedy's cousin Slowpoke.
Slowpoke.
McGee.
Arriba.
Yeah. So one of Jesse's points was a friends of his, a couple, they have kids. And they have a system of texting each other after dropping a kid off somewhere, like at daycare, at school, or at babysitters, or whatever else. Have either of you guys had that kind of system?
Oh, yeah. Percy and I are in constant contact, no matter where we are. You know, if we're sitting next to each other, we're texting each other. If we're across town, you know, we're texting each other. We drop the kids off. It's like, Surrey, message my wife. What would you like to tell Chrissy? Tell her I dropped the kids off. Okay. Would you like to send? Yes, send it. You know, and this is a constant dialogue between us. You couldn't pull this off 20 years ago because there were no iPhones.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing that I got to talking about with Jesse at the end of the clip there was when I was a kid, you know, how my mom would, you know, put her purse back in the back seat or something like that to look back there, you know, and that kind of stuff and everything else. And
really?
I don't ever, yeah.
I did not have a car growing up. We were like ridiculously poor. So there was no car. It was just if you wanted to go somewhere, well, you walked. And nobody left me in the back of a car because we didn't have a car.
You pushed your...
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Wilson is older than dirt. He walked up the hill in the snow and walked down the hill in the snow to and from school.
It was uphill both ways.
Yeah.
And 3 feet of snow, exactly.
What about you, Steve? Do you guys have some sort of system in place?
Yeah, it's called my wife watches me pack them in the car before I go. and then they meet their destination, and then that's pretty much it. Like, it's... that was what it was before she stopped working, but and then usually she'd call me on her way to work, but so I mean, it was confirmation that way. But I mean, like, she knew exactly where I was taking them. Like, I never knew where they were going. I always had to ask her,
right?
Because like, I would get going driving in the wrong direction if I didn't know. It happened more than once.
Yeah,
I would go to the other grandparents' house. Oh no, we don't have him today.
Where am I going? I've done
so,
that. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I've had the experience with it, but like, it's we don't really have a system because it's been talked about ad nauseum mm-hmm. beforehand of where they're going and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's picking up who and what?
I mean, I think the system. Yeah, I think the system thing happens more so when you have two working parents that both work outside the house.
Right. Right.
And so, I think the texting, the calling system kind of works that way a little bit more. That way, you know, because and as I said in the clip with Jesse, I said something in the effect of, oh, you know, you could drop them off at daycare, let your wife know, and then, oh, the daycare doesn't know where your kid is, but you know you dropped the kid off without telling, you know. So is that. But basically, folks, we just, you know, I just wanted to bring awareness to this because this is I am sorry that 25 deaths last year is just...
Well, that's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's just now, uncalled for. That's just...
That number, you know, that number confuses me. Is that in the state of Kentucky or is that nationwide?
No, I told you. It's nationwide.
Oh.
Throughout the entire United States, 25 children died in hot cars.
Well, that's... You know, honestly, that's not a very big number for a whole country.
It... When it comes to children, any number is a big number.
I know, I'm just saying. You know, more people probably, you know, trip down the stairs and fell to their death, you know, just because they're dumbasses, than actually left their kids in the car.
got shot by gangs, but I'm just saying, in the context of leaving your kids in a hot car just because you want to go get a McFlurry.
Right, well, don't do that.
You're only going to be in there for 5 minutes, and it's 96 degrees in your damn car.
That's what the drive-in's for.
Deaths nationwide last year is just unacceptable.
So, I mean, it's good that we've taken the time here and mentioning that this is a terrible thing and bringing awareness to it so that we know not to leave our kids in the car. And, you know, I see, like on Facebook, I see a lot of posts about people leaving their pets in the car. And,
well,
and
my wife's breaking out windows. It
really is both. And it's more so, and I asked Jesse about this at the end of that clip. I said, well, you know, it's kind of the same thing in the wintertime, too. And he said it doesn't seem to really be that big of a deal in the wintertime when it comes to kids and pets. Because
they're not going to freeze to death in the back of the car.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, for the usually. I mean, honestly, once the car is warm on the inside, it takes a while for it to get too cold to live, you know. But in the summertime, it's the exact opposite. You know, it might be cold in there because the AC was on, but the minute you park it in direct sunlight, 10 minutes later, you feel like you're going to die.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, pets as well. Do not leave your pets in a hot car just because you want, you know, a Whopper burrito or whatever the hell the new Burger King thing is that's coming out.
You know, I get the feeling, I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to say that this does not speak to our demographic.
We're geek.
We're geeky.
It's a situational thing, and it's a one time. We're not going to talk about this every week, obviously, folks. This is just a one time topic for a one time experiment thing that happened here,
right.
in Kentucky.
But what I think the people who are forgetting their children in cars are the people who have five kids. And they have to go go into the check in the cash, you know, so make sure that they have, money that they don't haven't really earned yet, you know. So it's like, oh wait, I'll just be in line for 5 minutes, and you know, all your kids are. You come back and like one of them is dead, and the rest of them are all sitting in the corner horrified. This is an awful thing. I shouldn't be laughing, but it makes me giggle. I don't. When I say we're not the demographic, I mean. You know, we are, for lack of a better term, middle class Caucasians who take care of their kids.
Okay.
That seems like a big problem.
But it's not one of those things where it could happen to the worst people in the world that shouldn't have children. It could happen to any parent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you yourself just told us that you lost your kid at a Comic-Con at one point or another. You know.
Oh yeah. So, I mean, you can misplace your kids. It happens.
Yeah.
Would I misplace them in a 95 degree car? I would hope not.
Yeah, I'm not saying you would. I'm just saying that. Anybody can have that mentality of, oh, it's just, you know, I'll be 5 minutes, and you know,
I'm almost positive that whoever came up with the I'll be in there 5 minutes story is probably saying that after the fact because their kid ended up dying in a car.
Yeah,
it's you know, I actually saw a movie TV. It was I want to say Ally McBeal. Do you remember?
No, I don't. I've never seen
that show. Ally McBeal. It's like a lawyer show. It was The Good Wife. One of the episodes, first or second season of The Good Wife, they were having to defend a father who left their child in the car. He was supposed to take his kid to daycare, forgot to drop him off at daycare, and went to work instead, got out of the car. And went into work. And when he came back out of work, his kid was in the backseat dead. And they were trying to, the DA or whatever was trying to prosecute to say, you know, you're responsible for this kid. This kid died. And the defendant was saying, oh, no, it was an accident. We can't be held culpable. Long story short, it turns out they actually killed the kid. And then to cover it up, they put him in the car and left him there. And made it look like he died of the heat in the car.
Michael is severely perverting this with fictional shit, people. So
I'm just saying, you know.
But I think that sometimes, and I don't think he's
it was ripped from the headlines.
Yeah. Well, I think that sometimes people uses an excuse to for some people that just don't want to be parents.
Mm.
And I think that some people purposely do it.
Really?
I think so, because why?
I'm
why
not
else
condoning
would somebody,
infanticide here. I'm not saying this is a good way to get rid of your unwanted children.
I'm not saying it's a good way. I'm saying it's totally perverted. But it's like at the same time, like how does this keep happening? Like if they're telling you to put your cell phone in the back seat so you don't forget your kid, something's wrong. Like I would chuck my cell phone out the window and forget about it. Before.
That's the other thing that Jess mentioned in the clip that we recorded before this was, you know, some people have an app that will remind them.
You shouldn't have to have an app.
I know. Exactly. I know.
You made the kid and then, you know, it popped out of somebody and then,
had a child.
And then you take care of it. I mean, it's your kid.
You know, and I got to tell you, for me, there's really no going back. I can't have any more. So,
I mean, I could, but I don't want, you know, I don't want to lose the ones I have.
I don't want to have to make more, that's all. You know, so if I lose the one I got, then that's, I can't go back, you know, I can't.
Game over.
That's it, yeah, man.
Oh, God.
At that point.
Epic fail.
This has really turned into a really, really bad car wreck, folks. I tried to come on here to do something.
You're the one making the fun here. Who got hit by what? Oh, I got killed by heat.
That giant ball of fusion in the sky that killed me.
That
ball
came right through the windshield and it fused me to the seat. But I mean, in all seriousness though, I mean, like, how do you forget your kid? Like, honestly, that's my kids are the most important thing in the world. Like, I would drop everything else for those kids. Like, they may drive me nuts, but that's their goal in life. They will always drive me nuts, just like their kids will drive them nuts.
And I think that right there, Steve, what you said about your kids being able to drive their parents nuts is that the thing is, that's where the whole, oh, well, I'll just be 5 minutes, because they don't want to take the time to take the kid out to go into the store just to grab a half gallon of milk or something, where they just assume that they're only going to be in there a short amount of time. Again, going back to the point of some people in this generation are lazy, stupid ass parents.
Well, like I'm one of those people that I'm freaking addicted to pop. Like I'm addicted to Coca-Cola and that stuff.
Soda.
And I get this like urge that I feel like I have to go get them. And you know, it's at times I want to go stop at the gas station, but like I don't, if I had my kids, there's no way I'm stopping there. Like I'm just going to wait till after I take them where they got to go, or, you know, or if it's like on, you know, through a drive through or something, but like, I'm not going to like get out of the car and take the kids out just to indulge in like something that I want that I don't need.
Yeah.
You don't keep them in the glove box.
Yeah. I don't keep them in the glove box. Now, if I could fold them up like Jetson style and put them in my pocket and, you know, I'm joking.
You know,
but
you can wear one of those hats that has the cups on either side.
I want one of those things from like, I want one of those portal guns so that I can make them so that they just, you know, endlessly cycle through air conditioning in my car. And then
there you go. That would work. Sure.
I'm
why
joking,
not?
But
all right, folks, before this train wreck of a PSA gets any further off the track,
suffice to say, it's a terrible thing. We're sorry it happens.
A child is a terrible thing to waste.
Exactly. It's like, look who threw out that perfectly good white boy. How did that happen? It's terrible. No, it's just terrible, and it's bad form of us to make light of it. But
it's not funny.
It's not funny. But somebody has to make light of it. See what I did there? I didn't mean to do that. That's funny. Because the light comes through the windshield. You shouldn't make fun of it. It's a terrible thing, and I'm very happy that somebody like Jesse brought this up.
Yeah, I agree. That's
to shed light on it. So I did it again. Damn it! To
he's not even trying now.
I know. I'm sorry.
Well,
I'm trying to be
heated.
Serious. I just can't do it.
He's getting heated on the subject. So
he just can't light his darkest hour right now, folks.
It's a rather heated subject.
Burn up here, man.
Steve, damn it!
He's hot tonight.
She said.
He's on a roll, the window down.
Cool off, man.
Yeah.
All right. So the point is,
don't leave your damn kids in the car.
Yes. That's and seriously, folks, look before you lock. Really, seriously. The other thing Jesse pointed out is when you I don't know. Your kids play hide and seek, Michael?
Occasionally.
Not often enough where they would think that hiding in the trunk is a good idea.
Yeah, just climb in that old fridge, kids. Yeah, it's a perfectly good idea.
Well,
Indiana Jones in the middle of a nuclear explosion, just climb into that fridge. It's lead lined. You'll be fine.
I would find my kids in the refrigerator before my car.
Yeah,
well, they like to hide inside the door.
The point that Jesse was trying to make is that once your car is at home, make sure it's locked, because if kids are old enough that they're playing hide and seek and they're old enough to grab the keys, the trunk is the darkest place they've seen.
There's a funny story I was going to tell you guys too, and it just popped back into my head. My mother left me in the car while it was running once because she was just going to run inside for 5 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I might have been 3, maybe 4 years old. It was before I turned 5 or 6. I remember that because we didn't live in the same house. But what it come down to is I climbed in the driver's seat and put the car in drive.
I did that to my dad once.
Did you hit anything?
I almost drove the truck into a ditch. I was like 4.
Oh, see, I truck. Totally.
Yeah, this part has been edited. Ha ha ha. You'll never know what was actually here.
Oh, that was weird.
That's weird. Awesome. How epic is that? And honestly, no, if your kid drives off,
we couldn't hear a damn thing you were saying.
Oh, wait a minute. Should I tell the story again? I'm confused.
Yeah, hang on.
Don't put the car in drive.
Exactly. Steve heard me.
Before you went out.
Oh, okay. Anyway, suffice to say, it was epic. And, you know, if you leave your kid in the car and he runs over your swing set, then you deserve what you get. At least you didn't get a dead kid. Honestly, it's a good thing there was a swing set there, because I could have just drove clear across the neighborhood. That would have been awesome. Once you put a car in drive, you're just going to idle until something gets in front of you, like a swing set or another car.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Wilson, at age 3 in 1976, he is the Rocky of Northern Indiana.
The Rocky?
Crap.
Are we there That's yet? Fine.
Yeah, are we there yet?
Anyhow, yeah. So don't leave your kids and their pets. You know, honestly, statistically, it's probably more likely that you would climb into your car and find someone that you don't know in the backseat who's trying to rob you and kill you than it is for you to climb into your backseat and find a dead child in the backseat. Statistically speaking.
The only thing dead I want to see in my backseat is a bug.
The occasional hooker.
Yeah,
and French fries.
French fry. Woo! French fry.
Fossils.
Da da da. Boop. Fossils. Da da da. Boop. Fossils. Da da da. Boop. Fossils. Da da da. Boop. Fossils. Da da da. Boop. Fossils.
This one's only been back here for a week. It's probably still good. I would just say, make it a habit, even if you don't have kids, to look in your back seat. Make sure
that's the big thing. Look before you lock, folks. That's going to do it for us here on Altered Geek and Geekcast Radio. For Altered Geek, Steve, what do you got coming up?
Well, I'm presently on the other line recording an episode.
No, you're not.
An episode of Altered Geek where I get to talk about, video games, some DC stuff, the remainder of the top 50 that people wanted to know about, as well as some of my side projects with my screenplay, and a special report from some internet troll that decided to pay $11,000 to individually to 5 different Twitch streamers, resulting in a over $50,000 bill on his parents' credit card to be a troll and try and refund it. And PayPal said, "Here's the finger, buddy."
Yeah.
Yep.
Because it's hilarious to make people happy and then pull out the rug from under them.
Yep.
And it's so, all fun and games until PayPal says, fuck off.
Yep, which they did.
That's an awesome story. I actually watched the video for that. I watched the video of all the Twitch gamers going completely insane and crying when people gave them that much money.
I know. I watched that, and the one guy's like, I gotta go lay down. And then he just goes and lays, like, this pile of, like, clothes and bags. And
yeah, it's just a pile of clothes and bags. You know, I don't understand these people at all.
I don't understand why people donate to him in the first place and watch them play the games. But, like, I'm like,
I'm sure
I'm
going
to play the game. I might as well stream it. So, like, I'm starting to do that, but I'm not asking for money, so...
Yeah.
So that's what's coming up on Altered Geek. For Geekcast Radio, we got the 9 top 9s of the 90s coming up later this year. And what's your catchphrase, Steve?
Get Altered Geek Geeky with the Altered Geeks.
And unleash the geek in you here on the Geekcast Radio Network. We will catch you next time.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.